Welcome to Growing Women of Faith podcast. I am Rochelle Morlock.
And I am Sherry Konzak. Growing Women of Faith podcast was created for women to have a place where they can share how God is growing them and using them. Our hope is that we can be an encouragement to all women of all walks of life.
We hope you enjoy, and don't forget to subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Hey everyone, we hope that you are doing great. First, I can't even believe that we are halfway through summer. That just does not seem possible. And for those that don't live in America, and especially in the Midwest, well, right now it is miserable. I definitely love the hot weather, but I also, it's like a mixture. I like that 80 degrees. So I feel like right now it's a little too warm. But we hope that you guys are having a wonderful summer. We are going to talk to Casey Williams today. And Casey Williams has been on the podcast before. And she got to share on what prayer means. Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Casey, you did not share on what prayer means.
Oh, it was the Messiah spirit.
Yes. Oh my goodness, guys. My brain is horrible. I am so sorry, Casey. But he is going to share about first today about prayer life. I'm getting ahead of myself. So she is the prayer leader for Bloom International as a whole, guys. And she helped to launch the women's conferences here in America this year, which is crazy to think. And we launched at a Corinne church in Kansas City, Kansas, in February. And it was so amazing. We had 43 women that we got to love on. And I know that we shared this already because Karen's already done her episode on the portion that she chatted about and talked about and preached about with the women. And Casey brought that to the women. But also a few weeks ago, we partnered with another church here in Kansas City, a Nepali church, and she got to do that with those women. And we were able to impact with the women and children, also the teenagers and some of the men, because the men came and cooked for us, which it was so amazing. And she got to impact 54 lives sharing about what prayer life means. So today she is going to share that with you. What does it look like to have prayer in your life? So Casey, welcome today, and we hope that you are doing great. So
I'm doing really, really great, and I just want to talk about the two conferences for a minute. First, it was so awesome to be there as we launched our first conference here in America in Kansas City at the Corinne Church, and then at the Nepali Church was such a wonderful time too. And at the Nepali Church, I made lifelong friends there from that church that, you know. And then when we did our conference a couple weeks ago, we actually had a couple that came from the Nepali church, and they were, you know, so excited to see me. And it was like having family come and sit with you. And they said, it was so nice. But the way God is intentional in bringing and bridging the gap between cultures and friendships, and how he really creates a family in the body of Christ.
And also what Casey's talking about, guys, she's talking about our Made for More conference, and we launched that 2 weeks ago here in Kansas City, Missouri, and honestly, it was a dream of ours, and we've been talking about it for what, Casey, like 7 months, I don't know, 9 months, and like, hey, this is going to happen, and it's been a dream of mine for years, and just seeing it unfold was so amazing. We had over 50, I think it was 56 women in total that came including we did have some men that came to help behind the scenes, and just so many of them sharing their sorrows. And like Casey said, the couple that came from the Nepali church, it was so humbling to see them. And they even said it was a blessing to be in a setting where they weren't actually hearing their own native tongue, but being with other people from other churches from America. So, because they're still relatively new to America. But yeah, I wanted to fill people in because we officially have had 3 conferences this year since we launched here in America. And Casey's been a part of all of them. So, all right, Casey, back to you.
Well, today I'm just going to talk about the importance of building a prayer life and the way God designed prayer. God did not design prayer as a monologue where we just speak and we just, you know, look up at the sky or the ceiling and we just start launching our complaints and like, so we vent. Yes, God wants us to vent to him, but it's a dialogue, not a monologue. It's a conversation between our Heavenly Father and his child, his daughter, his child that he loves very much, his son. You know, whether you are, you know, close, really so close to God right now that you can just feel him next to you, or you feel miles away from him, he doesn't care about that. The closest you can be to God is just one step away. No matter how far you are, it's one step away back into God's loving arms. And that's what he designed prayer for, is a conversation. Just like, it's no different than talking to your best friend or your sister or your mom or dad or a trusted confidant. God designed it not to be hard, but to be the same. He wants us to have that open conversation with him. Even when life is hard, even when life sucks, even when our health is down, and we just, we're like, but Lord, I want to do this or I want to do that. And he wants us to be honest and real with him, because he can't fix who we pretend to be, but he can totally fix the real us right now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that real and raw human experience we have, God wants to hear about it. And that's where prayer comes in. That's where prayer comes in. And so we're like, you know, and I used to think that, you know, I used to pray like this, like, God, if you want to, if you can, if you choose to, then God, you know, if you have the time, I know my needs aren't very important, but if you can, God's not a God that he's like, well, if I feel, no, God's not, doesn't have a knee-jerk reaction to it. He's not a God that's like, well, I guess if I feel like it today. No, he's not like that. He's no respecter of persons. And what we might consider small compared to other people's problems are just as important to him as anyone else's. He doesn't value the person who lives in the nicest house more than the person who lives in a shack or in a trailer or in the slums of a third world country. No one is more important than anyone else in God's retrospect, but he loves to hear from his children. God is a father that doesn't have a favorite. We're all his favorite, but he designed prayer not only so that he feels loved, but so that we know that we're also loved. He didn't create us to feel broken or to feel weak, even though we do feel those things. He created us to be loved. And when we get in that dialogue and that conversation with God, that one-on-one with him, it's like spending time with your dad here on earth. You know, my dad he'd take us kids fishing, and sometimes mom was at work. Or for me and my dad, our bonding time is we watch football together. We're very serious about that sport. And you have that one-on-one conversation with your dad, and you just, and you know, and your dad might speak in that still small voice, and you're like, wow, my dad does love me. He took this time to spend with just me. And God designed prayer in that same way. He takes that time out to spend with just you, with just me. But he wants us to take that time because God also wants to know that we're important to him. And we often hear stories in the Bible. We're taught about it in Sunday school. I know when I was a little girl, I was, you know, about how, you know, David and his mighty men of valor and how he prayed. And God called David a man after his own heart, or how Samson, you know, after his eyes were plucked out, he was blind, his hair was cut. He asked God for strength enough to defeat the Philistines once for all. God would just let his strength return one more time. We hear about, you know, if you think about Joshua, you know, before they were going into the promised land, that when they were in battle, God stopped the sun for 24 hours. Can you imagine God stopped the sun for 24 hours? Now, he may not, you know, logically, realistically stop the sun per se for us, but he can provide for a need that you didn't see how it was going to happen. He can heal you or a loved one like that, and you didn't expect it. You asked for it, you believe for it, and then when he does it, you're like, wow, God, you did do that. And those are so small compared to what he already does. When we think about prayer, we don't ever sit and thank Lord, thank you for the oxygen we breathe every day so that we can stay alive. Or Lord, thank you for keeping the earth tilted in the right axis so we don't freeze to death or burn up. We don't thank the Lord every day for the earth spinning in a complete rotation, but he does that anyway. And those are so complex. We think about our minute, minuscule problems in life. Those are so minute. We don't thank God for the crazy big things that even science cannot explain on how it's happening. That God did something so precise, such a perfection level, that even science can't fully describe or explain on how that came to be. But the Bible says that God wants that dialogue. We're always told these stories of these mighty men who prayed, God answered, and we're very little told about how God used a woman's prayer to change the trajectory of a nation, to save a nation, or to bring the nation back to his feet, back to where they're in the right place with him. And one of the earliest stories we know that is when he told Abraham that he said, count the stars. You will have more children than all the stars. I'll make you a father of many nations. And Abraham trusted God, but it was hard sometimes. But his wife Sarah had a little less time trusting. And then she went about her own way, but she still got the promise. She still got Isaac. Isaac being the beginning of that promise, father of many nations, and through Isaac, you know, then there was Jacob. And Jacob married two women. Well, he's tricked to marry Leah and then Rachel. And we know reading the Bible in the book of Genesis how those two battled for Jacob's affection, even so much as trading, you know, vegetables, saying, well, you know, here's a vegetable. Okay, give me your husband for the night. He's my husband. He's mine for the night. And they got into this competition on who could bear him more children. And Leah honestly thought, if I give him another child, he'll probably love me more. And Rachel was like, well, I just want a child. I don't want a whole slew. I want one. And she tried to go about her own way of getting it, even getting angry at Jacob. Why won't you give me a child? And he said, why are you pointing at me? Does God want to give you a child? It's no matter of me. Do not blame me. Yeah, ask God. Take it to God. And when Rachel finally took it to God, God opened her womb and gave her Joseph, who we know later on in the Bible, Pharaoh called him Zaphnath Paneah, which means God speaks and he lives. And because God said so, Rachel's womb was opened and he began living. But also not only that, Jacob saved the whole nation of Egypt and he saved his family from destruction and from famine. And did Joseph have to go through a lot of trial and tribulation to get to that point? Yes, but because of the prayer of a mother, the prayer of a woman, his family, the nation of Israel, was preserved and was saved through his mother's prayer. And there are times in life when prayer was absolutely the only reason I'm here, and I'm telling you this for sure. When I was 15, my dad and my uncle took five of us kids rafting down Elk River, and anyone who's been to Elk River in Pineville knows it's very swift waters. Well, we came across the boat with a trolling motor, and I probably didn't weigh much more than a wet paper clip. You know, I wasn't even, I think I was barely 4 foot tall. Not that I'm a whole lot taller now, but I digress. And we hit the boat, and I flew out of the boat. I flew out of the raft, and I got sucked under by the trolling motor. And I'm a good swimmer, but I couldn't get up to the top of the water. I couldn't. I could see the sunlight coming through the water, but I couldn't get up. And it was weird because I'm a good swimmer, but I could not seem to get to the top of the water when my dad grabbed me with one arm and slung me back into the raft. Well, we get a few hours later, we get home. It's been a long day. It's been fun, but it's been a long day. And my grandma, she sees us coming in the house, and she comes bolting across the driveway. We all live on the same property. She comes in, and my dad and my mom and all those kids and her, they're sitting in the kitchen, and she looks at me and she goes, "What happened to you today?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she said, "I was making my bed around 2 o'clock, and the Holy Spirit told me to pray for you. It was a matter of life or death." And me and dad looked at each other and looked at her, and dad said, "Well, we were wrapped in, we come home some rapids, and she got knocked out of the boat and sucked under. And she couldn't, and she was drowning. We couldn't get her out from the rapids, couldn't get out from running the trolling motor." And he's like, "But I was able to grab her, see where she was at, and get her back in the raft." And grandma goes, "Oh my goodness." She's like, "I'm so glad I listened to the Holy Spirit." She's like, "Because the Lord told me to pray for you. It was a matter of life or death." Now, my grandma had no clue this was happening. One, she knew we went rafting, but she didn't know where we're at. She didn't know what we're doing. This is in the 90s. This is probably like 90s, 97. 98, this is before cell phones. So the only way she could have known it was a matter of life or death is if the Lord told her. And then probably the only reason I survived is because she was obedient and prayed when the Lord asked her to.
Wow. And basic.
That's,
yeah, so crazy, Casey.
And there's times when the Lord tells you to pray for somebody that, you know, if you feel it, you know, and my grandma always told me after that time, she said, if someone crosses your mind and the Lord tells you to pray for them, you pray for them because you don't know what's going on in their life right now. She goes, you don't need to know. The Lord knows. She goes, the Holy Spirit is an intercessor and he knows, the Lord knows what they're going through. Pray for them. And it's just, there's so many times in my life when prayer was so integral and such a big part. And I will share this testimony. Try not to cry. In April, I had gallbladder surgery, but I was really sick. I went to work and I was yellow. I mean, I look like one of those rubber chickens. Humorous how I mean, I was pretty yellow. And when I went to the hospital, they immediately knew something was wrong and they had me come back to take my vitals. And I threw up like 4 or 5 times in the ER. And they come in and they said, "You're not leaving until we can remove the gallbladder. It could be Thursday or Friday. But you will have pancreatitis, you have cholecystitis, your gallbladder's really inflamed, and you're very sick. Your leukocytes are over 20,000, and you're only supposed to have 35. So I was very, very sick. And the miracle, there's some miracles in this story wrapped up one, but one, I have one kidney and a large heart. The doctors were so worried that I had been so sick for so long that I damaged my kidney. Here's the thing, when they did the blood work after the surgery, like your kidney functions 100%. It works like there's two there, but we know there's only one. We know because we've seen the x-ray and the ultrasound from your gallbladder. They said your heart's really healthy. Your blood work came back perfect. This is after surgery. But they were thinking, they told me Thursday night, Tuesday night when I was in the hospital. I don't remember this because I was on painkillers. But they said, "We think you might have cancer because your leukocytes are so high." And they, even with a gallbladder disease, shouldn't be this high. This usually markers that someone with like pancreatic cancer has liver cancer or gallbladder cancer. These are not normal, just gallbladder attack markers. When I went back to have my recovery thing after surgery, they're like, "Your blood work came back normal after surgery. You're good." They're like, "You have some remaining pancreatitis, but you're healthy. There's no issues. You have perfect hormone level, everything." But the better testimony is I had surgery the week before my birthday. I had surgery like the 8th, and my birthday was the next following Saturday on the 16th. And that Tuesday after surgery, I prayed and I said, "Lord, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent and my last remaining car payment. I need to have that money. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And I can't work for the next 3 weeks. But Lord, I'm stepping in that God margin and I'm asking you to be my Jehovah Jireh, which means God who provides. And I said, if you don't do it, it's not going to happen, but I'm stepping that God margin and I'm asking, I'm relying on you to provide. And I know you can. I'm relying on you to provide. Well, that next day, I went to Women's Life Group at church and they gave me a balloon and a birthday card because it was my birthday that next Saturday. And they just want to know that they, you know, they're like, Sister Jean's like, you've had a rough, you know, but you've been sick, you had surgery. And, you know, we just want to let you know we love you and happy birthday. Well, I'm one of those people, I can't even handle people singing happy birthday to me in public. I don't know whether like a deer in headlights or like, you know, I don't know what to do. I almost want to crawl under the table and escape. And it's not like I can't sing in front of people. I can, but that kind of thing, I'm just like, I'm going to crawl under the table and die, y'all. I just can't handle it. I don't know why, but it feels awkward to me. Well, afterwards, a lady from my church that is our secretary, she said, we didn't want to embarrass you because I guess they know me well enough. And they said, but she said some people today and last night got together and wanted to make sure that you had your bills taken care of for the rest of the month. You didn't have to worry. And you know that God is a precise God and he knows how we need. All my bills were paid for the rest of the month. I wasn't struggling. I wasn't starving. It was enough for all my bills plus groceries, plus everything I needed. And that is a testimony in of itself because I prayed on Tuesday around 4:35 o'clock in the evening. And then God answered that prayer like that. And I didn't know what he was doing, but he did. So even when it looks like God's not doing something, that God's doing nothing, he's up to something. And that by that next night, he answered my prayer. Through willing hearts and people willing to listen to that small voice of God saying, you know, I want you to be my hands and feet. And if I wouldn't have prayed, sure, God probably would have provided. But it was that extra step of faith saying, God, I know if you don't provide, it's not going to happen. So when you speak out that faith, that prayer saying, Lord, I need you. I need you to provide. And literally, there was no one else for me to ask. You know, I'm not married. There was no one else for me to ask. You know, there was the only person I really had to rely on was God. And I think in a way, no, God did not cause my gallbladder to fail. He did not cause the surgery. But Romans 8:28 says, For I will turn all things to the good of those who love me and are called to my purpose. So did he cause the surgery? No, but he used it to show his goodness and his mercy and his grace. And you can't outgive God. And he showed me his mercy and his grace in that moment. Because his strength is perfected in my weakness. And my weakness was, I don't like to ask for help. But sometimes I don't even like asking God for help. I want to know I could do it myself. But in that moment, I knew I needed to be humble. I need to close down my pride and tell the Lord I needed help. And the Lord provided for everything. Not only that, my health is better than it has been in years. I'm not sick. I'm not yellow anymore. And the best thing is that it put me in a position that I had to learn to ask for help and that it was okay to need help. And the Lord will use things like that to teach you. But prayer was, I didn't have a weapon like a huge bank account to turn to. I didn't have a huge credit card I could swipe to pay my bills. The only person I had to turn to was God. And when you have only God to turn to, that's not a bad thing. And the Lord showed me that through this. He showed me he could provide. And the funny thing is, he was telling me that I've been praying for a long time that I'll be able to do ministry full time. And in that season, he showed me, I can provide for you. You just have to trust. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot to trust when people, humans, have shown you can't trust people. And then God comes out and says, yes, you can trust me. I'm a good God. I'm a loving God. Pray to me. Seek me. Have a relationship with me, talk to me. And that's what he designed prayer. Prayer is when we surrender our hearts so that God can reveal his heart for us. And no matter our sickness or our struggles or our weaknesses, God wants us to talk to him. And prayer, that's the dialogue he created for us to reach out to him. Can we see him, you know, physically with our eyes? No. But can we feel his heart when we pray? Yes. Can we listen to his still small voice when we pray? Also, yes. Also, yes. And I am so thankful for my grandma and my mom and other family members who, when I was a teenager and a kid, showed me the power of prayer. My grandma was like, let's pray about it. Or she'd get her anointing oil out and she's like, Lord, I pray this car will. I watched her pray over her check engine light one time and it go directly out after she prayed. She said, Lord, we command the check engine light to turn off on this car in the name of Jesus and it won't break down. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And our car got where 5 hours away where we need to go and back home with no issues. You know, the Lord honors prayer. Sometimes his answer is no, he's yes, but he honors it in different ways. Sometimes the answer is wait, but he still loves to hear from us. And God is a good God. He's a good parent. He's a good parent. So even if you had a father or a mother or an important person walk out of your life, God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And when you talk to him with your problems, when you go to him in prayer, and you say, Lord, I'm brokenhearted, or Lord, I'm hurting, or Lord, I'm sick, I need you to heal me, or God, I'm frustrated right now. He's not like a human being who will turn around and go tell, Mo and Joe and Curly your problems and tell everyone else, oh, well, you know what? She told me what's going on in her life. No, God's not like that. He's like, angel number one, do you see what my daughter's going through? You know, she's devastated right now because her independence has been taken away. I need you to go there and I want you to comfort her. I want you to show her that I have a plan through this season. Or this woman over here who's going through an unexpected divorce and she had no clue it was coming. Angel number two, I'm going to be with her and let her know that I love her so much that I'm going to redeem her days during this time and I'm not going to forsake her. There's nothing wrong with her. She's not less than. She is enough. She's a masterpiece. She is whole and enough just within herself and who I created her to be. Or the mom who's lost a child and she's angry. And she's like, Lord, you know, why are they gone? Why are they not here with me? I had so many plans. I wanted to watch them get married. I want to watch them have babies. And the Lord's just like, let me take your hand and show you greater things. And we can't even begin to understand God's heart if we don't talk to him. And prayer is our line. It's our helpline. We call, it's like any other helpline, you know, that we call, you know, we ain't heard this or that. We can get in prayer and be like, Lord, I need you right this second. And there's been times in my life where I needed him right this second and he showed up. In some very expected or unexpected ways, he showed up in prayer. It's God revealing his heart and his plan for us. And so I encourage you, if you don't have a prayer life, even if you don't know what to pray, there's no special secret magic formula. He's not a genie where you rub a lamp and he goes, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? No, it's not like that. Just start talking to him like you would a friend. Start confiding in him like you would your best friend. They're like, girl, like, Lord, did you see what that, lady said to me at work today? I mean, thank you for helping me keep my mouth shut, but she was trying me and I don't like it. Well, you know, and then he'll give you correction, or he'll give you comfort, or he'll give you mercy or grace, or even just, all you have to do is say, Jesus, if you have no other words to say, and you feel like there's nothing else to say, all you have is tears, sorrow, brokenness. Just cry out and say the name Jesus, because he understands that too. You want to know why? Because he sent his son to the cross. And I guarantee that was an unbearable pain. And he didn't have many words to say then either. He probably didn't know what to say then. But he understands our grief. He understands our loss. He understands our pain. He understands our sorrows. And his son understands. You know, his son, people mocked him, ridiculed him on the cross. Even the other thief on the cross ridiculed him and said, well, if you're the son of God, then have your kingdom come and save us. Get us off the cross. Because that thief was still in a mocking spirit. The soldiers were mocking him while he was on the cross. Jesus understands everything we're going through. Hmm. But he still wants to hear from us. Yeah. Just to reach out to him, Jesus. But that's just my encouragement. That's how you get to know the heart of God. Get in your word and start praying to him. Start speaking to him. He wants to hear from you. And I encourage you to do so. It'll monumentally change your life for the better.
I love that. I know, like you brought up so many different points, and also just the, where do you start? And I hear that all the time. We actually were talking about that in Bible study tonight. Like, how do you start? And some of the people in Bible study tonight said, and including myself, and I said it, which was, you know, sometimes when I go to pray, I am like, I've got laundry to do, or I've got this, or I've got that. And like I hear, honestly, Rochelle, I don't have time. But then it's like, God's going to provide that time. But I love how you just said the, like, he doesn't care how you say it. Like, if it's elegant, he just wants you to talk to him like a friend, a father. But there, for some reason, I feel like it's like been told to us without maybe being told to us, like we have to have this elegant prayer life and like these specific words. And because of that, it's caused so many people to like be afraid to speak to God. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we need to kick God. We need to kick our idea of God out of the little box we have him in.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit in a box.
Yeah, it's so true.
And the thought, you know, well, if I can't do it in my own human self, and God can't do it, God's not a box. God isn't fit in a box. And there's no special rhythm or rhyme or way to pray. And I used to think that I need to have these magic, eloquent words exactly what to pray. No, because then I'm not praying to him. If I'm copying someone's words, trying to be like them, then that's an imitation of somebody else praying to him. And then I'm not being who he called me to be. He didn't call me to be some big old speaker. Maybe he will someday, but he called me to be Casey.
Yeah.
It's like he called to be Rochelle. And in those differences, we each have our own separate calling and our own giftings. So in those moments, we have our own strengths and our own weaknesses. And I'm not going to pray the same way you pray. You're not going to pray the same way I pray, because we have our own ways of praying and getting close to God.
Right. No, I love it.
You can even prayer journal. Sometimes when I don't know what to say, I'll write Heavenly Father, or I'll write Father God, because I call him Father God, and I used to just call him Heavenly. I used to just call him Dear Lord, Dear God. And then a couple years ago, during a prayer meeting, the Lord had shown me something, that I had a disconnect between God. I had a high view, a lofty view of God, that he was untouchable by me. And the Lord showed me no. And then I started calling him Father God when I was praying. And another man that was at church service with us, he said, Casey, Lord told me to tell you that he is your Father. He's your God. He loves you. He is your. And after that, I always call him Father God. He is my Father. He's my Abba Father. And he can love you better than any earthly father ever could.
Yeah.
And someone's listening that this night, I know, and hearing that. And I hope whoever it is, I'm praying for you, that he loves you better than any earthly father ever could. And if your father's alive, that doesn't make you less than anybody else. He loves you, and he loves us better than anybody ever could.
I love it. I can relate to it so much. And I do journal it myself, and it does help a lot. Casey, if someone says they want to be able to connect with you, what is a really great way? I know that you have an email. Would you be okay if we share your Bloom email with people?
Yes, please do.
Okay. Do you want to give it, and then I can leave it in the footnote as well? It's casey@bloomintl.org.
Yes. My brain went blank for some reason. I'm like, wait a minute, what is my email?
Yeah, so you guys can connect with her through her email. You guys can also, on our website, which I can put in a link into this podcast, there is a way to get involved with the prayer team as well.
Yeah.
And Casey is, and I know she's going to say, yes, Casey is looking to fill positions, fill those seats for prayer members on the team, right, Casey?
Yes, indeed, definitely.
Yeah. So if that is something on your heart, please reach out to her. And if you are needing a prayer, like I said, send her an email, guys. Send her directly an email and get that prayer to Casey. Casey wants to pray with you, and she is that person on our team that makes that happen. And yeah, we are so grateful for you, Casey, and I'm so glad you were able to share this talk that you shared with the women, that you preached to the women in February and in May, which is so crazy to think. So it was so good to have you again, and we love you. You're amazing. And thank yeah, you. Until next time. All right, guys. Also, we hope. Oh, bye. No, you're fine. What?
No,
you're fine.
No, I said, love you too, and I hope everybody that's listening has a good night or good morning, wherever.
Yep, that's true. Yep, that is right. So we hope that you guys have a wonderful day or a wonderful evening, like Casey said. Until next time, know we are praying for you.
Yes, and please send me your prayers. Yes, I will answer.
Well, guys, it was a pleasure to hang out with you all today. I hope that we could be a little joy and a little hope and bring you a little laughter for your day. And don't forget to subscribe to Growing Women of Faith podcast so that you will get a notification every time we add a new episode.